This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to The Exclusive. I'm your host, Sharon Tharp. We're back with a recap for the latest episode of The Traitors, and I'm joined today by Big Brother 25's Corey Wurtenberger. Corey, thank you for being here. I feel like this is our first solo podcast together, right? Because we've done one with America.
Yes, no America allowed this time. I'm super excited to be here. I love Traitors. I did tweet earlier in the season that the quote was unwatchable. Which may be a poor choice of words. I just like hyperbole. But this season's been awesome. It's been fun watching Big Brother succeed in another show. It's kind of rare. Feel like there's a lot to talk about with this one.
A lot. Before we dive in, who from the cast outside of the Big Brother people were you familiar with?
All the Survivor people, of course. America would give me the Bravo stuff. I can't say I knew who Sam was, shockingly. I know Wes. I feel like I knew a good amount of the cast. It's just a lot of the Bravo and Summer House. There's a few holes there, but I felt like pretty familiar.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I figured. This episode was obviously the big showdown between Daniel and Carolyn. Sort of high level thoughts. What will this go down as, like, an iconic sort of round table moment, do you think?
Yeah, I think I think the round table was probably the less interesting part of the Danielle versus Carolyn. It was all the stuff before the round table of, like, yep, Danielle saying, it's time to gun for Carolyn. I don't want to, but it's very clear she wants to. And then Carolyn being like, I don't want to be the one to fire the first shot, even though the first shot was fired like weeks and weeks and weeks ago. I think the iconic moment was Danielle breaking down after Carolyn reveals herself to be a traitor. That's,
yes,
she's amazing.
And let's just ask now, how genuine do you think that is? Or is it acting?
I think it's definitely not acting. I think it is strategic. Like, you can't fake that. Like Dan Gieseling could not turn on that mode if he thought it was strategically beneficial. Danielle has that range in the same way where Carolyn's talking about how she's never heard. That comes from a very genuine place. I also think she's trying to be emotionally manipulative based on that. So, like,
right,
you know, it's both.
Yeah, I guess I think the same. It's hard, especially the shaking. Like, being a traitor is probably anxiety inducing enough. And so you don't really need probably to do much to really feel those emotions. But I don't know. I think I'm putting a stake down saying, like, I know people shit on Danielle this season. I know she's made mistakes. I know she's messy. I think this was her sort of shining moment. I think this was sort of the Danielle Reyes that we know. You know, she wasn't outwardly saying Carolyn's name to people, but she was obviously planting those seeds and being strategic in terms of the letting Carolyn get what she wants in the challenge. But yeah, I walked away with this from this episode, and obviously I'm biased, I'm a Danielle fan, but, you know, if anyone's sort of hating on her, I think this is sort of the Danielle that we all know. Would you say that's fair?
I think what's funny is when someone gets a bad edit consistently on Traitors, and I think Danielle's gotten a bad edit despite outlasting all the other Traitors, it's a testament to how well they're actually doing, because the Traitors is very simple. They always try to convince you the opposite thing is happening. That's how editing works. Like, they get me every time. They're trying to trick you. And they show every piece of evidence of how Danielle's doing badly and how people are about to find her out. And then every week they release the people finding out who the traitors are, and they're shocked it's Danielle every single time. So it's like, there's a lot of things to nitpick. I mean, she's not playing a perfect game. Nobody is. But she's clearly doing very well. And the most important thing about traitors, as opposed to something like Big Brother, there's no jury.
Yeah.
So
there is.
And Danielle's had problems with that in the past, and that is not a problem anymore. So she can swear on every grandchild from here to there, and she'll be fine.
I kind of agree, and I do want to address the swearing on the grandkids because it's starting to come out in exit press. I had heard like obviously about it. They're not showing it, which I did hear in previous seasons. Alan apparently stepped in when people tried to at the round table swear on their kids and stuff. Like, he'd be like, "Don't do that." And so I don't think Peacock loves that, and they don't. But I feel like it's an important part of the story, and so I don't know. How do you feel about them not showing stuff like that?
I think it's a weird line. Like, I could not care less about that kind of thing.
Me either.
I spoke to my sister who's very young, before Big Brother, and I was like, "Do you mind if I swear in your life?" She's like, "Yeah, of course. Go for it." It was like a tool I could
Right.
use. I think honestly, for me, it comes across as shady when someone's swearing on their child like that. I'm like, most people wouldn't even go there.
Right.
It's weird that they view that as like, "Wow, this is crossing a line," because I think that really does come down to maybe one editor, one producer's moral code, Alan's moral code. Like, it doesn't matter to Danielle, and Danielle's the traitor. I feel like there's no reason not to show it.
Yeah, I agree. And maybe it's because, we're used to Dan Gysling swearing on the Bible and his dead grandfather's ring and all this. And it's like nothing, I guess, to some sort of gamer fans. But yeah, and also, I don't have kids. So again, maybe I can't relate, but I didn't really care. I was like, eh, it's a game. And I'm sure her family was like, yeah, whatever, whatever you gotta do.
What is the problem with traitors though? Is like the cast is a mix of gamers and people who've never played a competition show, which it's fun. You get, Tom Sandoval is being funny. You get MJ from last season. But we're also gonna have a reunion where half of it's gonna be spent about how Danielle's a bad person. And like, I don't care. But I wouldn't trade it. Traitors is not meant to be the 16 best strategic players. Like that's not the purpose. So like I'm down to have Sierra come out and be pissed at Danielle. That's fine.
Yeah, I agree. And like speaking of that, like the Tom and Dolores of it all, just throwing rogue votes at each other, like, yeah, it's annoying and probably frustrating, especially if you're playing. But like you kind of need that because otherwise it's just like, majority vote or, just you kind of need that chaos, right? I don't know. It doesn't bother me as much.
Yeah, you want bad players. Like the optimal way of playing traitors is not fun. It's gathering the numbers and voting out people who are not your numbers, which I feel like this season of the traitors, which has been my favorite personally, has been a lot less strategic on the side of the faithfuls as season two. Season two, they always try to hide the right strategy for the faithfuls of like Sandra basically just cuddling up to the traitors and getting her numbers and going through there. This season, it feels like the faithfuls are just trying to get traitors every time. It feels like that's the entire goal. And honestly, most of the screen time, as always, is just the traitors arguing amongst themselves. So like, it's just recognizing what show you're watching. Like, I'm not expecting, great players who respect the sanctity of the game.
It also depends. I was talking to someone else about this, about your goal, because I really do think they edit the people that go after the traitors better. And so if your goal is to go on the show, be like really well liked, maybe get asked back, you're better off just going after the traitors and kind of flaming out. Because if you kind of do what Sandra does, like I don't think they're gonna ask Sandra back. I don't think she got the best edit. I don't know. That's sort of what I was talking to someone about that I thought was interesting.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting to me. Wes had a tweet recently. He had a lot of tweets. Basically saying how like it's reality TV stars' burden to make good reality TV. That should be their responsibility before trying to win, which I totally understand. I agree to a certain extent. I don't think you should say it out loud. Like that kind of breaks the illusion. But that's kind of the way I view traitors. Like it's reality TV theater. And I think Derek is a great example where like we watched him play. How long was BB 16? 90 something days, probably. We watched
Yeah,
him play a
that's on.
dreadfully boring 90 something days that was masterful and he won 500K and he's a legend of the game. He was much more fun on Traitors. And I'm glad. If he played that same game on Traitors, he might have done better and I would have disliked Derek more. So I like Traitors carving out this little spot of just be fun, have a good time.
I agree. Totally agree with that. All right, so walking through the episode a little bit, obviously, Sierra just got banished. Danielle and Carolyn are in the turret. There's no way they're gonna agree on a recruitment of Brittany. Do you think Carolyn should have just let Danielle recruit Brittany, or obviously you think no, like put your foot down there?
Definitely not. There just wasn't enough suspicion on Brittany. I think killing was the right call. I think the only thing Carolyn could have done better is maybe just get that kill directed on someone more likely to vote her out. But it felt like Carolyn was doing fine vote-wise. Like she had the advantage, theoretically, until the round table. Like, at least that's the story we're getting. I think there was nobody to recruit. The biggest misconception I feel like that happens on the Traitors is it's not a team game for the Faithfuls or the Traitors. It is a fully individual game. So, like, yeah, you could pick Sam as a Traitor. No one's going to suspect it. Pick Ivar. What does that do for you? You're just going to get banished and he's going to win. So I think the only play is to recruit someone you really trust at this stage so you can have, like, at least a semblance of hope that they're going to work with you. So I think killing was the right call. And they got Sam. I think Danielle thought she had Dylan. I think Carolyn thought she had Dylan. Ivar would have been a good pick too, but between those two, it didn't really matter.
Yeah. Any eulogy for Sam? What were your thoughts on Sam? He did have a, like, you know, I think the Alan thing, explaining what Alan's wearing thing, obviously it's not like groundbreaking, but I do think that might change the game a little bit going forward. I don't know.
Yeah, it's broken. I was so careful with stuff like that. We had our superpower, our season, where you walk in and read a card and see if you're selected. And I had to ask, like, okay, so if I was not selected, what exactly would the card have said? and then immediately that's the question you're asked. It's popped up on the Genius before. Like, that's on production. And as far as I understand, Carolyn did see Alan, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. They didn't make it clear, but I think you're right. I think she saw him.
Yeah. Carolyn in confessional, at least, was like, I forgot what he was wearing.
Got it. Okay.
But also the way these shows are edited, and I'm fine with it. Like, it's not a big problem to me. But, like, they show every Traitor's worst moments on, like, 10 times slower speed, and they replay it so we could just see how badly they're playing and how obvious it is they're Traitors, even though they're never banished. Like, so I don't know how bad Carolyn actually did. They can't make footage that doesn't exist, so she did that. But I don't think it was as big of a deal as they showed.
Yeah. The other thing with Dylan I want to talk about is, like, I get why they didn't murder him. They're both friendly with him. Obviously, Danielle, it sounds like he's her number one at this point, other than Brittany, I guess. But you do run the risk. Like, if you have a number one ally, how far do you take them? If they're kind of dumb, you could probably take them to the end and win. But if they're smart, they're obviously going to catch on to this. So, yeah, I guess what would you have done in terms of Dylan in that moment?
I think it's fine. Yeah, I keep him in. I think Traitors ultimately is a social game. And when you get to these last stages, like, if you have three votes, you win the round table. And especially when you get to that final round table.
Numbers.
Like, you need someone to take you to the end. So they're just kind of like these two competing things of, like, how good is the player? How good is your social game? If you feel like your social game is better than how good of a player they are, you can make that play. And I think Danielle and Carolyn have a lot of faith in themselves. And from what we saw, like, Dylan, it's not like Dylan was eagerly voting at either of them. I think Sam would have gone harder and cared less. So I think it was a fine choice. Problem is, now, if, you know, Dylan gets the seer power, whatever it ends up being, I think we have a decent idea. You have to imagine, like, I would check my number one because I don't want to get that person or allow that person to trick me. That would be terrible.
Yeah. Wait, so did we see this year before? Am I, like, not remembering? Or was it in the UK version?
It's a UK thing. I don't know exactly how it works. I just assumed you get to guess who a traitor is.
So basically but what Dylan no said. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And they also included that line for no reason. So
I thought the same thing. I was like, they wouldn't include that if he wasn't right. Because that's, I'm sure they were throwing out theories.
It also seems like I like it because the Traitors is unfairly skewed towards the Traitors. The fact that, are we at the final six now? Seven, maybe?
I think so.
I guess seven, and it's going to go to six after the murder.
Yes.
It's like, you get to recruit and murder. Like, you have to balance it somehow, because this is just not fair. Granted, like, I'm sure Danielle could win the power. And then just, like, make it null.
I also thought about that. Like, wow, they're recruiting and murdering. But I think it's just, like, however they set up the game in terms of the end game and how many episodes. And, I don't know how it works. But I was like, that seems a little, like, yeah, it's a lot of power. Okay, so, you know, we're at breakfast. Gabby's sort of onto Danielle, is kind of over the crying. Here's where you see Brittany in a confessional say, you know, I have a lot of loyalty to Danielle. I think she's a faithful, like, I hope she doesn't get murdered. I don't know how you feel. I think Brittany is very much aware Danielle's a traitor and is playing a Sandra game. But what do you think?
I don't think so. And I really? I don't think it's like she's totally unaware. Like, she's probably aware of the possibility, but you're just playing the social game. And whether she's a traitor or a faithful, you want to be as close to Danielle as possible. She's the only person you trust. Brittany's reads this season have been pretty bad. Like, she was not on the Rob's a traitor train. Like, and maybe you could argue she also thought Rob's a traitor and keeping him was good for her. Like, we have no idea what's really happening. I think really what Brittany's doing is just trying to keep her people in. But I do believe that she thinks Danielle's a faithful. Maybe up until the second she got that letter where she's like, who else would recruit me?
Yeah, at that point, she definitely knows. I don't know. Like, sometimes when she's like faking like a shock when Danielle comes in, I'm like, that doesn't seem real. But I'll have to ask her. But in terms of like that traitor angel strategy, whether she's doing it or not, Sandra definitely did it. And I think she said that. Janelle also mentioned, again, this could be revisionist history, but she also mentioned that she thought she knew Dan was. Should they show more of that? Or is that also going to break sort of... I just feel like as you have these games every season, people get smarter and smarter and you kind of have to adapt. So I'm like, what do they need to fix here?
So I disagree with that, which I think is why the traitor still works.
Good. Let's disagree.
I think a very small number of Traitor season 3 people watch Traitor season 1 or 2. I think they might have like skimmed it or got the gist. I think maybe the gamers come in with more of that strategy, but like my biggest complaint with season 2 was it felt like we're just being showed a fake game when the real game is happening behind the scenes. This season, I don't think anyone's really playing that kind of strategy. Or maybe they are just editing it better where I can't see through it. I feel like we're getting a lot of confessionals from people like Derek saying, I think this person's a traitor. I'm going after them. That's all I care about. Brittany's having the same thing. Like, I don't think there's like the third level metagame happening. In which case I'm fine with them not showing it. But again, I might just be a victim of the edit. So I don't know.
Yeah, I know, Tony was saying that he thinks there should be more incentive for people to get out traitors. Do you think that's true or no?
100%. I think here's what they should start a season 4. They should lie about how traitors were selected. First of all, just make it random and then rig it. I don't care if like if they fully rig the traitor draw and then lie to the audience that it was random, that's fine too. I really don't care. But I think every traitor that gets banished, it should increase the prize pot a lot.
Yeah.
Because I think that benefits the traitors and the faithfuls.
Yeah, part of me, though, is like, the thing about the prize pot is at the end, they all get the rest of the money anyway, which is, again, kind of like, who cares about the prize pot? So he had mentioned like, okay, well, maybe if you get a traitor, you're safe that night or the following night for murder. Or no, I guess it would be that night.
If you're one of the people who vote for the traitors?
Yeah, like if you vote correctly or something?
I don't know. I what I like about the prize pot idea or something of that sort is it kind of curbs the unfairness of adding traitors to the mix. Whereas I don't like shields. I think shields are annoying. I think when you limit the number of people who can get murdered, it just limits the possibilities and it gets easier to narrow down who the traitors are.
Good point.
And it just gets a little bit tired. Like every single episode is just who gets the shields. I just think like you could say there's not even a problem to be solved yet, because again, like if there was more traitors super fans, then this would be a big problem of like, oh my god, no one even cares about finding the traitors. They're just finding their person or riding to the end. We're just not there yet, and the way they're going to cast next, I don't think we're going to be there yet next time. Like, I actually think it's fine. And with how successful the show is, I really think it's so unlikely they're going to hard pivot to anything. I think they're really happy with where they are, and they're just going to run it back.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that for sure. I'm not so sure about the, like, I totally agree, but I'm glad we don't agree because I feel like I always agree with people on my podcast and I'm like, no, wait, this is great. Yeah, I'm not sure. I think you're right. A lot of people don't watch previous seasons, so like, what do they know? But it all matters on the edit. Like, that's really what matters anyway, because whatever they show.
It kind of feels like the guys are going to be the swing vote the whole time, and it feels like the guys were leaning towards Danielle being the traitor over Carolyn, except Dylan was the one who was like, up in the air.
Yes. Yeah, I feel like the whole episode I thought Danielle was going. I think that's the way the edit was showing it. But I think what happens is Dylan tells Carolyn about Danielle must be protecting him, and Carolyn's loving this, right? She's like, but then later on, now I'm jumping around. Hold on, this is the problem with this show because sometimes I'm like, wait, what happened before what? Okay, let's talk about real quick before the mission. Brittany and Danielle have a heart to heart. They're crying. Danielle says she has a lot of guilt. What do you think about sort of Danielle and Brittany's relationship in the game, the BB reindeer games lore of it all? Like, yeah, like, are they acting? Is it like genuine? What do you think there?
I don't think Brittany cares at all. I mean, about the relationship, I'm sure she cares, but like the reindeer games thing, I think Brittany thinks it's ridiculous that Danielle cares this much, and Danielle probably cares more than she's letting on. Which begs the question, how does Danielle feel about Carolyn now? Because if that's how she felt about Brittany for reindeer games, which was what, 4 days maybe? I think Danielle got like sixth or seventh. I can only imagine. So I think their relationship is very funny to track. It almost feels like Heroes Villains, Colby and Jerry. We're seeing the final part of their trilogy, except Daniel and Brittany have no history. We're just pretending like they do. And in Danielle's eyes, they do. So I think it's very funny. I think now we're going to see them both as traitors, which is just hilarious. And
I know.
it feels like if I was in there, I would definitely be on edge about like, if you think it's Danielle, the odds of it being Brittany are great just because recruitment exists. But it feels like one of them is going to get to that final round table, and they're going to have a really good shot.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, is it gonna be another reindeer games where someone cuts the other first?
I don't think so. I think there's just going to be a lot of sus on Danielle. And what's weird is I thought the way this round table played out, whoever gets banished, Carolyn or Danielle, the other one would be in the clear because the alternatives just are so unfeasible. Like you're saying that they are both traitors and they've been going at each other for literally like four round tables. Like, I guess it's possible. I mean, they're like the Boston Rob, Bob the Drag Queen, that was pretty see-through. To fathom what's happening now, I think is like a big leap in logic.
Interesting. See, I kind of got I walked away from the episode being like, Danielle's in trouble still next week because I mean, obviously Gabby mentions it. This might be traitor on traitor. It's all perspective. Like Gabby wasn't really buying Danielle's crying anyway, so maybe that's what it is. But Danielle has a lot of, I mean, Carolyn said it, a couple of people said it, like people like her. Like she's very well liked. But again, maybe it's goes back to stuff we didn't see in the edit, the swearing on the kids, and I don't know. So
I think the
I
women
wanted to
really need to get rid of this. It has to be the women idea. Like that is the barrier that makes it impossible for them to win.
wait, the women have to, because Ivor was the one that said that, no?
Yeah, but as long as that is like the agreement in the castle, that's a problem. And I understand like some people are pushing against it. I think Gabby might have gone out and said, like, hey, we can't just assume that. But like Dylan should be suspicious as a recruitment person or just as like a clearly smart guy. I understand them not thinking it's Ivor, but like Dylan can't be deciding each week who he thinks is the traitor and they get banished. Like, I think you should see a Brittany, Gabby, Danielle. Dolores is going to vote for Tom, so 3 votes out of 7 with 2 hinky votes, that's enough.
Good point. Good point. Okay. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I kind of agree. I want to talk about the mission. We get to see, Kate and Parvati come back, which was nice. I don't know if they used them properly. Like it was really fun, but they were kind of just sitting off there. Any thoughts on that, I guess? Their cameos.
No, I think they're fun. It was very funny them clocking Pilot Pete in Dylan, because yes. I think everyone's been seeing it since the first episode. But yeah, like, how expensive are trips to Scotland? Like,
I mean, they're probably flew first class too. And oh, you know, yeah, those outfits didn't look cheap, so I don't know. They got money.
They've got a budget. As far as I understand, they have a budget for appearance fees. They have a budget for sets and costumes. And I can't imagine the castle's very cheap. Like, there's levels to this reality TV thing.
Yeah. And a lot of people have talked about it in their exit interviews, how Peacock just treats them so well. I know they get money for their reunion looks. Like, yeah, they're shelling out money. And I think that's why people keep going back. But yes. Okay. So the mission itself, Danielle and Carolyn obviously had to answer questions prior. Carolyn was thinking all about the prize pot. Let's answer this so people get it right. Danielle's letting her, you know, make the choices, knowing that she's sort of getting herself in trouble. How would you have played these questions if you were a trader?
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10/1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, is very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
I think you just answer House consensus. Like, I think they were, I don't know why they kept straying away from Dylan as an answer. Like, there was a couple questions there where it's like, who is the leader of the pack? And they said Tom. And I think they actually might have gotten that one correctly, where it's like, oh, we don't want to say Dylan because it'll be so obvious. You should literally just pick the obvious answer for every question. And I do think the one misplay was the Carolyn, you know, saying that she was the mouse, I think they called it. I get it, because if that's what she's been saying the whole time, it'd be weird for her not to get the majority of the votes. You probably just want to keep your name out of the conversation totally.
Yeah, I think this was Carolyn's like kind of blunder here. I don't think she necessarily handled herself the best with Yeah, she was pushing for Tom. Dylan's watching the whole thing, which I think is super smart, sitting back and watching. And then she pushes for Tom. And then after, Dolores is like, well, yeah, you were pushing for Tom. She's like, no, I wasn't. And I'm like, Carolyn, you have to you know what I mean? I think that was that was a bit of a blunder there.
I think she felt like she was going to win. Excuse me. At the round table. I think she thought, I'm in the lead. I've got this. Just whatever. And then things start tilting against her. And it was like panic mode, like immediately. I'd be very boring on the traders. If I was Carolyn, I'd be like, they already picked a survivor person. You think both Big Brother people are faithful? Like, what are the odds of that? And I feel like that would have been very, very convincing to me as a faithful of like, it's kind of what Tony said, where it's like, I was voted out because people thought I would be picked, because I probably was in the very short list of people who would be picked.
Yeah.
Which is why, like, it's always baffling to me when they're like, it's like the second round table. I think it's Max. Like, what do you mean it's Max? Like, obviously it's not Max. And that would be my one. Yeah, that'd be my first directive going into the trader. Because, yeah, they might pick a Phaedra. Sure. Bob the drag queen. It's not always the Boston Robs. But one of them is always the Boston Rob.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I don't know. That's what I would
think. Yeah, it could be a double bluff where they're, I was talking to someone about this. Like, next year, is there a possibility of them not putting any Big Brother or Survivor people in the turret? Or is it always going to be one?
There'll be one. This year there was three at the start. So I think it's possible that they scale it back a little bit. But the show lives and dies by the traders being either good or chaotic. So, like, I wouldn't feel comfortable trusting my once-a-year show in the hands of Sam, right? Like, I don't know. Maybe. I think it's really important because there's some people you could pick that would be hilarious. So like, I think this season they nailed the traders picks. Last year was almost like cheating. It was like Dan, and then they recruited Parvati, and Phaedra ended up being probably the best of the three of them, entertainment and gameplay wise.
Yep.
But this year they just picked like people who hated each other. And I think that's the dream.
That is the dream. Okay. I want to talk about Carolyn's argument, because I just didn't think she was like hanging her hat on the one thing is like Danielle lied about the Brittany thing. I think she should have been better prepared. I mean, obviously, like, we see Dylan kind of hint to her that her name's out there, and she's very shocked, and I don't know how much time she had to prepare. But I don't know. I just didn't think. It's like, yeah, okay, faithfuls don't need to lie, but, like, everyone's probably lied about something. So, like, I don't know. What did you think about her argument?
So I had a big argument on the one show I was on, and Jared would continuously talk about my survivor secret, which the context doesn't really matter, because no one cared about the survivor secret, because it only mattered to me and to Jared. But I feel like Carolyn was in the same spot of like her big grievance against Danielle was Danielle lied on my name, and no one else really cares because they're not Carolyn. So right. I think you have to figure out like the big picture stuff that other people would care about. Like, why is she actually a traitor? And I think that's when you could look towards, do you see how she's acting? Like,
right.
And I feel like they keep using the word evidence, and it is such a pet. There's no evidence. Like, there's vibes, and you could say vibes. That's fine. I think I would have leaned on, it's probably a Big Brother person. You really think they picked me and Rob? I jumped on the Rob vote. Like, you just have to have stuff to say, because traders, and this is why people love it, it's a vibes game. And she kind of crumbled in the argument. And I think that was, it was less important what she said. It was just that the vibes were Danielle's winning this thing.
Yeah, that's a good point. And we see Ivor say like, and they continue to say this, like, if Carolyn is a traitor, like, she deserves an Oscar. Like, so it must have took, Danielle must have done a really, and I do think she did a good job, because people were counting Carolyn out, like, until this, I guess, mission, which helped with evidence, quote unquote.
Yeah.
She was doing a good job. Like, no one was sus on her. And so, yeah, I don't know. Give me, like, sort of, I guess, your eulogy on Carolyn as a traitor, as we see her go out here.
I think Carolyn was a really strong traitor. Ideally, I think Rob could have stuck around a little bit more, but I don't think Carolyn could have done anything outside of like staking her name on Rob staying, in which case she'd be suspicious anyways. Once it gets to just her and Danielle, I think we simulate the season 5-6 times. She wins one of those two situations, but this time Danielle just outplayed her, like, very clearly. I think what it came down to between the two of them and why they ended up believing Danielle, I think it's more realistic, more feasible that Carolyn would be faking what she's putting out there, not in terms of her personality or, you know, the way she feels like she's perceived. That's very real. But like the fact that she's a traitor and is playing that up is more realistic to me than whatever Danielle's doing being fake. Because I'm watching it now and you and I are debating, is it fake? And I still don't know the answer. I don't think I will in 10 years. So both of them are just these like, hugely performative, not in like the negative way, like they perform. And I think Danielle was just like, she's really pretending here. I wouldn't think so.
Yeah. I also like, I feel like Danielle's gotten shit for being really like emotional and over the top and blah, 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 blah. But like, and again, Carolyn, we kind of accept it because that's who Carolyn is. And she's talked about this. But at the same time, do we know Danielle enough to say that she's not like that or can't be like that? And so I kind of am like, I feel like Danielle's gotten some shit where, yeah, I guess it just is perspective. I don't know.
I've never wanted to see someone come back on Big Brother more than Danielle. And it's not because I think Danielle would dominate the game and win. I don't know if she'd do very well, honestly. Like, you know, she's Danielle Reyes, you'd think. But she's playing so unbelievably hard on the traitors. She cares so much about the game. She's chaotic. And I don't think there's a shred of inauthenticity where it's like, you even watch someone like, who's an example? Like, you know, Wes is always playing a character and I love the always, character. Boston yeah. Rob's always playing for the cameras. Right. And they want to win too, but there's these two goals. Danielle has one goal, winning. And in trying to win, she also makes insane TV. So like, I know this is a Carolyn question. But I think because people were so like supportive of Carolyn, almost in the same way they were supportive of Phaedra, her being banished is like, ooh, now it's time to hate Danielle. And I think that's just kind of projection.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel. I mean, also, I just rewatched season 7 with Taryn, and we recapped that. And I don't know, just I'm always impressed with Danielle. And when I'm watching this, I'm just thinking about, yeah, strategic, like what she's doing. And I don't know, I just I'm really impressed by this episode specifically, too. But yeah, so obviously, what else happens at the round table?
It was a kind of short one. Like, yeah, they I think zoomed through the argument.
Like, Tom tried to bring up Dolores, like that whole thing. I don't even know why they're showing it anymore, but I guess they have to because they vote for each other.
It reminds me of Kevin and Pilot Pete, where they had that idea of we're going to target each other, but they're not pretending, but makes it much more believable with Dolores and Tom, where it's like, why? They're not targeting anyone. They're going to gun for each other. And I really do think, like, Sari doing like the 3-2-1 vote. Like, is there some way of like the two traitors just throwing their votes on Tom or Dolores now and just like cheesing out a win? Like, can you do Brittany, Danielle, and Tom, or let's say Dolores and Dolores voting Tom, and then have like two people vote for one person? Because as long as there's two sides, which I assume there is going to be, three votes on one person, if one person votes wrong, you just win the round table. So like, I don't, you know, again, I'm being very optimistic, but I, with seven people voting and you have three votes on one person, you don't have to do that much to manipulate it.
Yeah, no, you're right. I'm not a numbers person, but you're making me think about all this. And I'm like, that's so interesting. All right. So in terms of, obviously, Brittany is going to get recruited. They get to murder. Who should they murder? Who do you think they're actually going to murder?
I think Ivar is the only person you can murder.
Really? Just because he's so faithful?
He's so faithful, and he seems locked in with Dylan. Like, I think there's a plausible world where Dylan's bad. I think there's a world of, like, the Pilot Pete being bad. Like, maybe he's recruited. Like, he's clearly a gamer to some degree.
Oh, what do you mean? Like, people might think that?
Yeah, like I think I could make the argument that Dylan would be a traitor and he's playing the rest of us. The argument for Ivar is like really? Like, that's what you're trying to sell us? And I think Dolores and Tom, it's just a relationship thing. Do you think Dolores or Tom are sus on you? I would doubt it. Gabby feels like she's, obviously Danielle, probably it's a good idea to get rid of Gabby, but she doesn't know that. So I think like Ivar is the only option. And I think Danielle feels good about Dylan still. So
yeah.
I think it's just going to be the murder. Do you disagree?
No, I'm not sure. I agree with the Danielle of it all. With Brittany, I'm just curious if she's going to like let Danielle lead, or because Brittany can be a very paranoid player sometimes. And I get it. She's been bamboozled once or twice before. And I'm just thinking, like, what is she going to think is best for her game? And is it going to align with Danielle?
It's going to be the first time I think Danielle is going to be the main decision maker in the turret. Like, I think of Danielle and Brittany, who's a better Big Brother player? Like, it's legacy wise, obviously it's Danielle. I would have a lot more faith in like Brittany coming back at this point. Just in terms of like the play styles, like Brittany, I think reliably gets very far every time. Whereas Danielle, who knows? But I think Danielle is more forcefully strategic or more forceful strategically. Like, I feel like at this point, and also it's not like Brittany and Ivar have some hidden relationship. And if they do, maybe we'll hear about an exit press. So forget about Danielle. If Brittany got to pick, do you think there's a right choice?
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Anish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, is very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
Feel off? Tired? Moody? You might be missing minerals, because 99% of us are. Concentrace Daily Mineral Powder helps support energy, mood, and immunity from the inside out. Go to tracemineralsmg.com and feel the difference minerals make.
The Dylan of it all, maybe Dylan? Because, like, Dylan's just smart. And I don't think Dylan and Brittany have, or they seemingly don't have really of a relationship. And then you're also kind of cutting Danielle's number one. I don't think Danielle would let that happen, but I could see maybe Dylan being smart for Brittany.
I think that's the right call if you're Brittany, but I don't, I think like
it's not gonna happen.
Maybe Ivor's the compromise at that point.
Yeah. I mean, is Dylan, are we getting, like, do you think the traitors are going to win or the faithfuls?
It's interesting. It just feels there's no way we're walking away with a Brittany or Danielle win.
How I feel.
But who of the faithful wins? Like, I think there's a funny Tom and Dolores ending of maybe like Tom or Dolores screw up and vote the other person out very late, you know? And like Ivar is going to win. The only world I really can envision right now is Dylan winning. But
he's getting like a good edit.
Get that far. He's getting a great edit, but he's getting the Pilot Pete edit. Which like, I feel like they're going to have a new Pilot Pete next season.
Yep.
Right now, I'd guess a faithful win with Dylan. And it's just Danielle over trusting Dylan and then Dylan getting rid of Danielle at the end. And that is the narrative of the season. Last season, like there's always some through line, like CT and Trishelle ended up being the through line of the whole story. Cause it was weird. You had like Kate at the end and it was like, Kate was a traitor as of last episode.
Yeah.
It's going to be like, you're going to have the Brittany Danielle story the whole time. And then we're going to have Tom and Dolores and Dylan and Danielle. And I feel like we actually are getting to this final 7-6 with like actual continuous storyline. So yeah. I think Dylan wins, but who knows?
I kind of agree, because I just think if Danielle or Brittany's there with Dylan, I don't think he's throwing a green rock or whatever they do. I think he would vote them out, but I guess let's see. Who else did we like not talk about? We touched on Ivor. I don't think there's much there. Do you think he was, they just wanted him to be like the John of the season, like last season? Yeah.
I think you have to be very careful with that casting spot, because like, I feel like there's more misses than hits.
Right.
But it feels like Ivar was a bigger get. I'm not really like locked into the monarchy, but I feel like John was just like a member of the House of Commons, or he was just like part of Congress in the UK.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, Ivar is this like celebrity. He's a royal. I think he has been a miss so far. Like the one thing I enjoyed about him is the him and Sam duo is just so funny. Cause like they had one scene of the two of them. They were playing like badminton, and there was maybe a 5-second clip of it. And I was like, wow, big edit for them this episode. This is huge.
I think they threw that in there to remind us they were there, because they were not getting confessionals. So they were like, these guys are still here.
And they're incredibly important to the story at this point. Cause like they have one round table to get this right.
Yeah.
If they get it wrong, the game's almost over. Because then you're at like two traitors and three faithful. And if they get to, or two traitors, four faithful, and then you get to murder one more. Now it's 2 versus 3. And now you have to be exactly correct with everyone on the same page. Mm-hmm. Like they have to get it right. So that makes me think like, there's just no way they keep Ivor. Like there's so much metagaming that I think could go on in the traitors. And I'm sure it's understated in the edit. I'm sure it's happening a lot, but there has to be the sentiment of like, you really think like they're going in confessional and talking about betraying people, Ivor? I just wouldn't believe it. Like there's not, like I could get the seer power and be like, is it Ivor? And they're like, yes. I'm like, I don't think so.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. What about Tom's redemption story here? I feel like Tom is now going to be asked back on a show because people loved him last episode.
People do bad things in real life and get asked back on reality TV all the time. Things much worse than Tom, which is not like, honestly, I think Tom's a great guy. I don't. But if we're living in this world, give me more Tom Sandoval than XYZ person. I mean, he's been incredible. He's probably been, him and Gabby are like the stars of the faithfuls this season.
For sure.
And I was asking people yesterday, I'm like, does he get this edit on Vanderpump? Like, is he? Like, yeah, he's the joke there too, which is hilarious to me. Like having such a such an obvious heel every single episode, and he continues leaning into it every single episode. he's been a star, and he's the one person who's like, he's clearly not a traitor, but I don't think you kill him because he's such a bad faithful. Like,
yeah,
that's what I would love to hear. The Tom exit interview where Tom's arguing it's all intentional, which I could definitely see coming.
He's going to be like, I knew Daniel was a traitor. It wasn't Dolores. Yeah, I think Tom, you know, I've watched Vanderpump. He's very much like that. But he's never in on the joke. Like, he doesn't realize, like, he takes everything super seriously and people laugh at him. And there's an endearing quality, which I hate to say, cause I know he's done horrible things, but like, whatever, I'm here for it. It's reality TV. Yeah. It is what it is. And I like what you said, yeah, about Gabby. I think she's also a little bit of a breakout. I don't think, obviously, she's been always right. I mean, the Tony vote, there's been others that she's not correct on, but I think she has decent intuition. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, like, the show's not clowning on her around every corner. She's like an intelligent person. People keep going in confessional talking about how Gabby's smart. I could see Gabby winning too. I didn't really think about that. She's just like one of those people who, like, she could be doing nothing on screen and it's entertaining. She just has like such a funny way of conducting herself and speaking. America did an interview with Puya before the season about Gabby. Like, it's her favorite by far. And she's been incredible. Like, I think I wonder how much people are suspicious of Gabby. Cause I think she's someone where I could be convinced they would pick her because she's such a funny, dynamic, interesting personality. The only question there would be like, so you're telling me it's Carolyn and Gabby and they've just been best friends all season. Like, that might be a little bit far-fetched, but there's always you know, recruitment theories. So I don't know. Like, I think she's more likely to be a traitor than Tom and Ivar, at least. And
yeah, so you're right. You got to keep her in the game. That you shouldn't murder her, because I think Dylan's still sus on Gabby, right? Like, and Danielle, I think, has to hope that Dylan is more sus of Gabby than her. Because, you know, he said he's still not sure about Danielle. So we will see. Overall, like, who, I guess, is your like, do you have a favorite player, someone that's impressing you this year, or just you just loving the drama of it all? Or are you more, you watch Traders for like the fun of it or the strategy or both?
You can't watch it for the strategy. I love the show. I do hate watch the show, but can you hate watch a show that you love? Like, I hate watch the show strategically for sure. Danielle's been the star. Like, I think generally speaking, unless they do horrible things, the most polarizing person on the season is probably the best casting choice. Like, Danielle has been so fun, and you just watch her and she doesn't seem real. She doesn't seem like a real person. And I've met Danielle and she's so normal and nice and sweet and whatever, but she's still very like, how are you doing? Like, she's very intense all the time and it bleeds through the screen. So like, a very inspired Traitor's Choice. She's also a gamer who's made it to the final 7-6. Like, Suri did it, but I think Traitor's 1 is a very different circumstance. Yep. And Suri, I think Suri and Danielle have a similar thing where it's like, they seem very sweet and maybe you wouldn't think they're as conniving, but you know, both their histories and they're both as devious and traitorous as anyone else. Where I think Suri wins you over with like, aw, Suri, like, she wouldn't do this. Danielle's approach is like, she can't be doing this, right? Like, there's no way.
There's no way she's pulling this off,
Like, I think people, I've always viewed it this way. I don't think anyone should take away from someone's legacy because of Traitors. I think that's insane.
Agree.
Dan Giesling sucks now. Derek's the worst. Like, no. If you want to add to someone's legacy, sure. Why not? Like, Suri just proved again she's one of the best reality players ever. Danielle, for her third season, I'm not counting Reindeer Games, just makes it deep and her game is polarizing all three times.
Yep.
Like, that's just the kind of player she is, and she's been great.
I agree. I treat every game differently. I don't think everyone's strong suits are fit for every game, and that's why we see people go on different shows and not do as well. And so, totally agree on that. Who from Big Brother, who else do you think, one, is probably going to get a call, or two, who should get a call, I guess?
Let's just say Traders goes on for a few more years to get contracts out of the way. Angela seems like the most obvious call to me, of just like, yeah, she's she would be the star of every episode she's on. I would much prefer they go in a Felicia direction if they're doing that. And I don't want this to come off as like anti-Angela because she was the character of 26. Mm-hmm. But it feels a little bit more like she's aware of the character she's playing and she's playing it up and leaning into it. And and same thing with like a Tucker, for example, where it's like insanely fun character. He knows it. Felicia doesn't know anything about the character she's playing. She's just being Felicia. And I think you obviously make her a faithful. It's rare to find like Big Brother players who like would shine as faithfuls, and she's that person. If we're going old school, I think Allison is probably the most fun choice. I think June would just be like a fun. Finally, we're getting June back because I don't anticipate her coming back on Big Brother. And of the legends, it's like, who are the legends left? Andy, I don't think that's going to happen. Chelsea, potentially down the road. Right now, if I'm casting Traitors season 4, give me Felicia and Taylor, and I'd be happy. Those are my two.
Yeah, I think those are good picks. I think just if I had to, again, it's like the, you know, Big Brother, Mount Rushmore. Like, if you're talking about big players, I do think Josh would get a call, or at least at some point be on the show. I feel like the person who cast this show used to work at Big, or not cast, like runs the show, basically, used to be at CBS. And like someone like Kacer, I think I could see eventually getting a call.
Interesting.
I'm trying to think who else. Yeah, I don't know.
I think Josh would be a bad pick. Well, okay. I think, honestly, Josh's growth as a player goes against me wanting to see him on Traitors. I want BB19 Josh on Traitors immediately, but I've watched a ton of The Challenge recently. I think Josh has become like, just love the show. I think Josh has become an incredible, like throw him back in a normal game, throw him back in Big Brother, and he'd be incredible. Cause like, he's always playing the middle. He's always playing everyone. Everyone's always bitter at Josh, cause Josh is pretending to be their friend. I think he goes on Traitors, and I think he would just do a good job, which is not always what they're hoping for. Especially like, it's not like they're getting wasted on the Traitors. I guess they get some wine. But in the Challenge, I think there's more opportunity for him to re-enter that, the meatball mode.
Yeah, I don't know. I get what you're saying. I could see him just being such a messy faithful at that round table, though. Just like putting his nose in like a bunch of shit. I don't know. It's just,
he'd be outspoken for sure.
Yeah. Any survivors that stick out that you want to see?
I mean, Survivor, it feels like there's a much deeper pool of like legends. There's some people I hope they could just pick like a Richard Hatch, which would be like, it feels more like we're picking him because of the name than like the actual contribution he'd have on the season. I think Marianne would be a really good choice. I don't know. Do you have anyone in mind? I'm sure like there's 40 seasons. There's probably a billion people who'd be great.
Yeah. I mean, obviously people have thrown out Tyson's name before.
Yeah.
I don't know if he would do it. People have thrown out Kelly Wentworth's name. Well, she also Tyson loves the show. I think he would. But I feel like everyone's like now looking at Deal or No Deal Island being like, that's a kind of a better deal.
Well, the prize money is insane, and the appearance fees I hear are insane. I just think for Tyson, he's like a career reality TV competitor. Like, that's kind of his gig.
His job.
And
he
like,
would say that.
We're not talking about the Challenge 41. You know, like there's like levels to the, you know, like you're a reality TV legend. You get asked to do this show. Like, and honestly, they're all friends too. Like, he's friends with Boston Rob. He's friends with Jeremy. Like,
yeah.
I think it's very easy to be convinced to do a show like that. I'm trying to think if there's any like really old school Survivor players that would be like hilarious.
Like an Ethan?
Yeah, like, you know, just like Jerry Manthe would maybe be like a fun Britney type choice of like, she could wear the hat and she would like have awesome outfits, and it's obviously Jerry. You know, there's like the biggest names, like they already got like someone like Stephanie, like they've done the old school people. I would be more interested in like the newer era inspired choices, which I think Carolyn was like insanely good. So I think Marianne would be my number one pick of just like put her on any show and she's just going to be the most dynamic personality.
Okay. That's, I like that. What other shows would you do? Like, would you do Traitors? Would you do Survivor? Would you do any of these shows?
I mean, I'd do anything, but that's not true. Of the reality competition shows that you would cover, for example, Sharon, like, yeah. I'd do anything just because it's fun. I'm about to go to law school next year. I'd be very happy if, you know, BB25 was my time, and I'll be talking about it till the day I die. But realistically, you get asked to do something else. I think it's just hard to say no. Traitors, that's a Legends type show. Like, maybe Traitors season 50 when they've run through everyone else, I'll say yes. But, you know, these other shows, it's like, what else am I doing? It's like studying law, sure, but I could study law after too. So I think I'd be hard pressed to say no to one of these shows.
Yeah, no, I think that's an honest answer. And I know people worry about sort of their legacy, you know, from their previous show. And that's sort of why, I mean, I can't say for sure that, like, you know, Dan and Derek didn't come back for a long time. They came back for this show. And I'm curious, do you think, and we're seeing Dr. Will on Deal or No Deal Island, like, are people going to more come out of the woodwork and be like, you know what, I don't care about my legacy because these are totally different shows?
I think so much of it is seeing other people of your level do it and getting like FOMO, where it's like, I think Dan going on Traitors opened the floodgates to Derek being willing to come back, and Dr. Will, there's the infamous group chat that I don't even know if it exists between the three of them.
It does, but they keep denying it.
Yeah, so I hope Cody's not in it, which I could see him being like, they have a separate group chat with the four of them, and then there's the three of them. I think the legacy part of it is probably less of the calculation at this point, and it's more just a money thing. And yeah. I think, you know, Peacock is offering the money, like Deal or No Deal Island and the Traitors. People always say like, oh my God, this is so embarrassing for CBS. All their legends are being stripped away. I think CBS is fine having all new people on Survivor and Big Brother and paying them pennies relative to what Parvati is getting paid for her ninth show. Like, I think this is a mutually beneficial thing. And this is maybe my hot take that has nothing to do with the question you asked. I don't think Big Brother with returnees really works. It could, like, All Stars is my favorite season of the show ever. Beyond that, I don't think the format is suitable, especially now with everyone being so connected and knowing each other and being so, the community so, like, insular. So, like, I think the days of, oh my God, we're going to have a Big Brother Legends season or winter season, that's not ever going to happen. And I don't think it should, at least with, like, even if they did like a 70 day season, like the shortest one we've seen in years, I think it'd be terrible. It'd be a BB22 clone. Maybe you could do a reindeer game style thing, but I just don't care as much about that kind of thing.
Interesting. I think I disagree, but it's more of like, I just want to watch it. Do I think it'd be good? Probably not, like you said, but like, I would like to see it, but yeah, I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think, at the end of the day, the CBS stuff all comes down to budget. I don't think it comes down to actual, like, well, we don't want to do this. I really just think it's a budget thing, but I could be wrong. But yeah, we'll see. Is there anything else about this episode that you wanted to touch on? I feel like we covered most everything.
Yeah, it was actually kind of an uneventful episode for the most part. It was just like Danielle versus Carolyn. That was the discussion thing. Outside of that, there wasn't much happening. I think they've done better with the missions this season. Even still, like, you're watching the mission, you're like, all right, let's go. Next thing, please. At least this one mattered for the roundtable. But, you know, I thought it was cool. Wizard chess. It was fun.
Yeah, I thought it was good. There were a few duds, like, in the beginning with, like, all the physical stuff. I don't care about that so much. But, and also my one complaint, similar to what you said, was, like, the shields, like, they were giving away way too many, in my opinion. Yeah. It just gets... yeah, it's, I don't know, it stifles gameplay, I feel like, a little bit. But yeah, I think that was my sort of last thought. I appreciate you coming on, Corey. Like, I always like having people who are sort of have that strategy mind to talk with, because I don't always have that, and so it's nice to hear sort of your perspectives, because they differ from mine, so I like that. But yeah, anything else?
Oh my God, wherever I go, I'm branded as the game bot. This is I'm just here for the drama, Sharon, come on.
Well, I you have to, since, I mean, has America got you into Bravo at all, or any of those shows?
We watched a lot of Below Deck, like nine seasons of Below Deck. Real Housewives of Salt Lake City is always on, so I've caught a lot of that. I think her next thing she wants to do is Summer House. So
okay,
we're making our way through. We've been a little bit sidetracked watching other shows, but we got to get back on it.
Yeah, do Summer House first and then do Southern Charm after that, because there's some crossover.
And Bowie Jane wants me to watch Farmer Wants a Wife Australia. So there's a big list of shows I've got to watch.
Oh, God. Okay. Anything you want to promote? Are you still streaming on Twitch? What's going on with that?
Yeah. Twitch.tv/CoreyWurtenberger. America and I have our Patreon, patreon.com/AmeriCorey. We're doing a Big Brother Canada 10 rewatch. We're finishing that up. Just, you know, we do all reality TV stuff. So if you're interested in this niche little world, there's something you could watch.
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, is very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
You're doing all the right things, like eating clean and staying active, but nearly all of us are still missing a key piece, minerals. Concentrace Daily Mineral Powder helps restore what your body's not getting, supporting mood, energy, immunity, and nervous system balance. It's made from ionic trace minerals your body actually absorbs and comes in three delicious flavors, blue raspberry, blue Hawaiian, and blue acai. Because your body can't make minerals and modern food and water don't supply enough, start with minerals. Start with Concentrace. Find it now at tracemineralz.com.
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, is very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.